Last week we started there. We're starting there this week again. We talked about Jesus and him declaring that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And we spent a little time on him being the way. Verse 12 of chapter 14 in John, "Truly I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he also do. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Whatever you ask in my name. Lord, I need eternal salvation. Lord, I need a healing for a headache. He's the way. He's the door. There's one door. One door. It's always that. It's always Jesus Christ. He's always the answer. He's the way. When you discover the way, you open up that door. You enter in to the truth of Jesus Christ. He blesses you with his Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. That Holy Spirit brings you into truth and brings you into this new life that we enjoy. And that comes a little later in chapter 14 here. "I will pray unto the Father, and he will give you a comforter, that he may abide with you. Even the Spirit of truth." Again, it's the Spirit, the Word spoken, the Spirit, the breath of God, the person of God dwelling within us, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet in a little while the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. The Spirit of truth. And you will live because I live. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, that's the promise of our new life in him. Each one of us here. Each one of us here is the promise of a new life, a new creation. Brand new. All things new. A whole new thing given to you by God. That's a promise from Jesus Christ to you tonight. He is the way. Tonight we're going to talk about this truth and the life. He is the way, truth, and the life. We're going to cover two tonight. The truth and the life. Hallelujah. God is good.
Yeah, he is.
My pulpit is a little short tonight.
Do you need this? You can take it.
No, that's okay. No, Jesus would actually talk sitting, and the tradition was everyone else would stand, but we won't do that tonight. Back in that time. Praise God. So, what is truth? Pilate would ask that when Jesus said, "I am the truth." What is truth? We've been launching rockets in outer space to try to find out who created this universe. What's going on? What are we doing here? Just planting corn and eating cornflakes? What's going on? What's in that planet? What's at the planet after that? What's at beyond the edge of the universe? Down to the molecule. What's inside the genes? In this encyclopedia, Birth to Canada, that goes across the yard of information that's inside of the human being in one little cell, and we have trillions of them. All of the information in one human body. Who wants to be that body tonight? You volunteer? Okay. And Xander's body, all the information from his cells and DNA would fill the Grand Canyon of books. So you take the DNA from each one of his trillion cells, which is a big volume of books, keep dumping it in the Grand Canyon. That's how much information is in one person. But we're talking about truth tonight, which is different than information. And facts. We're talking about truth tonight and life, but first truth. Truth is a little different than facts. Facts can change. Today it's raining, tomorrow the sun might be shining. Okay, facts can change. It's raining outside, but tomorrow might not be. It's not raining right now, but it was raining. Those kind of things. Truth is something that doesn't change. Truth is a person. You might some have some water bottles tonight, or you might have hot chocolate or whatever. But if you have a water bottle on it, it says the source of that water. It came from this municipality, or it came from this spring in Alaska, or Port Byron. Probably not Port Byron. The lagoon.
Yeah.
Or...
I have a water bottle.
You do.
There's a source. All truth comes from this person, Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So it's not facts, it's not information, it's not the DNA of Xander that fills the Grand Canyon. Truth is a person. Truth took on the clothes of a human being. He came to this earth and spoke to us. He sat down like this. You guys are the disciples. He would sit on a rock and he would open his mouth and truth would flow out. Just pure truth, right from the source. It's like not getting it from the bottle. You would go up to that spring in the Adirondacks and you'd get the real thing coming out of the spring, the real pure water. This was Jesus speaking. He is the truth. The truth is a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. John chapter 6 talks about this truth. Verse 48. I am the bread of life. Jesus speaking. The source of water speaking to everyone around him. Your fathers ate manna. That was stuff that fell from heaven that God blessed the children of Israel with in the wilderness. And they died. They passed on. That was a miracle for the moment. This is bread which comes down from heaven that a man may eat thereof and not die. Speaking of himself, I am the bread of life. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So think of Jesus being the truth, being that seed or bread or that element that he's going to give to us to take into our own being. So we need to take him, this truth, Jesus Christ, and receive him in. So there's more than just talking about it. There's more than just believing with your head. There's actually a receiving of Jesus as you would receive bread, as you would receive food. You're taking him in. You're taking him all the way into your body. This was a hard teaching. The Jews in verse 52 there, they strove among themselves. That was stirring people. You can imagine people starting to murmur, starting to get uncomfortable. What is he talking about? We have to eat this bread of heaven. What's going on here? This is a weird teaching. But this is the truth. This is the spring in the Adirondacks. This is the pure stuff. Totally pure. No impurities. The pure truth coming out saying, you have to eat the bread of heaven to live forever. And I am that bread. You have to eat my body and drink my blood, he would say. And that really spooked them. The people got really nervous then. He's not just teaching about right and wrong and be good to your mom and do your homework and eat your oatmeal. He's talking about something really wild here. He's saying that God sent this person down, his own son, that he would give himself to you and you would literally take him in. You would take up this Jesus and bring him in. And he'll become part of you. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. We are the bride of Christ. He's living in us. Paul the Apostle would say, it's not I, but Christ that lives. This life that I live now in the flesh, my arms, my elbows, my ears, I live because the Son of God has died for me and loved me and laid his life down for me. Every seed, everything needs to be planted in order for it to sprout. So that planting happens in verses 52 through 58. If you have a Bible, please follow along with that. Where Jesus is saying, my flesh is meat indeed and my blood is drink indeed. Eat my flesh. He's planting. He's planting this truth in them. You have to receive me. Then the sprouting happens for just one person. The seed that was planted that day for one person that we know of recorded in the scripture. One seed sprouted. You've planted gardens and you plant a whole row and only one corn stalk comes up. It can be kind of discouraging. But one dead. And we know all heaven breaks out in rejoicing when one sinner is saved. When one soul is saved.
Yes.
Is there a soul that needs saving tonight? Is there a soul out there that needs saving tonight? I see one.
Oh.
There it is.
That's a soul.
I actually had these shoes on earlier and walked right out of this soul. So thought I'd maybe get your attention with it tonight. Anybody else? Let's keep talking about this. tonight. The sprouting happens when you receive the seed of truth of Jesus Christ, what he's telling you, yeah, I believe I'm going to take you all in, Jesus, all of you. I want all of you. I want this bread. I want this seed. I want it all, Lord God. I want to receive you tonight. Watch what Peter did here. Everybody started backing away because it was a strange message. We don't want to receive Jesus this way. We don't want to eat this bread from heaven. This is a weird teaching. They start backing away. They start backing away and backing away. Except one. Peter was still there. His eyes are probably kind of big. This was a heavy teaching that Jesus just dropped. Dropped a big bomb. Dropped a big thing. There's more than just eat your oatmeal, folks. There's more than just try harder. You've got to take in Jesus Christ. He dropped a really big truth on them. A really big seed. He turns to Peter and says, are you going to go too? Are you going to run away too? And Peter says, you have the word of life. You have the very words of life. He started to sprout. That truth that came out of Jesus Christ, that seed went into Peter. He started to sprout and become alive. Verse 66 from chapter 6, talks about that shrinking back. Are you trusting in outcomes? Is your trust in God in outcomes? Will you stop believing in God if things don't work out for you? If you don't get that job, if you don't get that girlfriend, that boyfriend, that husband or wife, will you stop believing in Him? Will you shrink back? If you don't pass history or math or something, are you going to shrink back? If you don't get that place that you wanted to go to, are you going to shrink back? Is your faith in results or is it in the Lord Jesus Amen. Christ?
Amen.
Will you follow Him no matter where He goes and takes you? That was the seed that Peter received that night. As people are shrinking back, we don't like the results. We don't like what we're hearing. Peter says, He has the words of life. Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? And Simon Peter answered him, one sprouting here, one cornstalk in the row. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You have the words of eternal life. I'm going to follow you. No matter what the outcome is, no matter what happens, I'm going to follow you. The tent blows over, I'm going to follow you. If all the cars get stuck out there, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow you, Lord God. If my 401k turns into a 01k, I'm going to follow you, Lord Jesus Christ. If I don't get that cabin on the lake and I'm fishing out there with Jaden, I'm going to follow you, Lord God. If my dreams don't come true, I'm going to follow you, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The words of eternal life, you've got them. There was no promise. There was no 401k with Jesus.
Amen.
There was no promises of boats and high things. And there was just Jesus Christ. You have the words of life. Peter had that vision. He sprouted. He was becoming alive. That seed of truth was taking hold from the source of truth. Jesus is the truth. Let's take a look at Psalm 51:6. Alice already shared from Psalm 139. It talks about our inward parts that were formed in the womb when we're, all of us came from out of some mom somewhere. Psalm 51 also talks about this. I was shaped in iniquity and sin. My mother conceived me. We're born, all of us. Everyone in here is born with a shopping cart. You didn't sin yet, but you have the... You have the tendency to sin. You have a shopping cart. You have a shopping cart ready to be filled up. That's called a sin nature. We like to fill it with lies. We like to fill it with lustful things. We like to fill it with covetousness. We like to fill it with fear. We like to fill it with rebellion. We like to fill it with all sorts of things. That's our sin nature. We're born with that. That's being underlined in Psalm 51, but the big thing right here is, behold, in verse 6, you desire truth in my inward parts, and in the hidden part you shall make me to know wisdom. Not information up here. Not a whole head full of information. I used to work with some IBMers. There was way off in space in their information and the engineering that they knew. Their heads were just so big that sometimes they were tilted when they were walking. They're so filled with information. This is different than that. He wants truth born in your heart.
Amen.
That's the garden he wants to plant in. He's not interested in filling you up with information. That comes later. We're going to talk about that in a little bit here. He wants you to learn. He wants you to grow, but that comes later. First, he wants to plant that seed in your heart. And he wants you to excel, become excellent at becoming a believer and follower of him. Then he starts teaching you other things, and your mind becomes filled with wonderful things and the goodness of his kingdom. You desire truth in my inward parts. Let's go to Romans 10. Romans 10, please. Yeah. Verse 8, a couple verses there. What saith it? The word is near to thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The seed is there. Everybody has that seed to receive. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe where? In your head? In your heart. That's where the garden is. That's where it needs to sprout. That's where it sprouted for Peter. That's where it sprouted for Peter in his heart. You can tell me all sorts of information and impress me about your faith and your biblical knowledge, but show me your heart, man. Show me the gospel working in your heart. The word is near unto thee, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and shalt believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You begin your new life. You sprout. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You're just letting it out. Let things start and grow and coming out. Your new life. Just releasing it with your mouth. The thing that's happening in your heart. Confessing it with your mouth is important. Jesus Christ died for me. I'm a sinner. Man, I've done a lot of things. I've messed up with my parents. I've said the wrong things so many times. I've hurt my wife so many times. And just things that even neglecting, not saying the right thing or withholding attention. Just Lord Jesus Christ, you paid it all. I believe that, mm-hmm. Lord God. You know all the things I've done. You know the secret things, Lord God, that even nobody knows about. You know it all, God. Mm-hmm. I'm a full open book to you, Lord God. I give this book to you now. I give my life to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in my heart. I'm receiving you, Jesus Christ. I want you to plant yourself in me. I want this new life tonight, Lord God. I want to believe in you the rest of my life, no matter what the outcomes are. My faith is in you, not in outcomes. My faith is in you, not in the future. Mm-hmm. My faith is in you today, Lord yes. God. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Praise Jesus Christ. Let's take a look at 1 Peter. We're kind of focusing on Peter here and him sprouting tonight. Beautiful story. This individual, what a guy. My mom's name is Petrina, which is the feminine of Peter. Petrina, what a gal she is.
True.
Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, just one verse there. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, not of a corn seed, which just is here, then it's gone tomorrow, but of incorruptible. It's an eternal seed. This life that begins in your heart now never ends. It goes on and on and on and on. It never ends. That's a beautiful thing that God has given us, eternal life. Let's take a look at 2 Peter while we're following Peter along this path here as he follows Jesus. You have the words of life. Did Peter slip up? Did Peter fail? Does anybody know?
He might have slipped up a little bit.
Did Peter have doubts? Did he majorly mess up? Sure. Praise God. We can look at his life now and be encouraged by it. There's that always that coming back to the Lord. He's waiting patiently. Hallelujah. So 2 Peter chapter 1, pick up on verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and through Jesus Christ our Lord, according as his divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him, has called us unto glory and virtue. That's excellence, that virtue. That's purity. Whereby are given unto us exceeding and great precious promises, in verse 4, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. not the corrupt nature, not the fearful nature, that I have to have certain kind of friends around me all the time. I got to be entertaining all the time. I got to be a comedian all the time. I don't need that anymore. I'm taking on something else, the divine nature of God. Where my needs are fulfilled, I start out already filled. I don't need people to fulfill my life. God is doing that continually. He's pouring into me. I used to be the class clown. I needed attention. You do whatever would get a laugh, I'd do it. Don't name it, because I would say, yeah. There wasn't anything I wouldn't do. Paul, go do that. All right. Just to get a laugh. Just to get some attention. God has flipped that around. He's made me content. Well, I'll be content. Now it's just the opposite. I'll be content on the mountain away from everybody and everything, just loving the Lord. So he gave me a wife to balance that out, to bring me back a little bit out of my hole there.
Because I'm very serious.
Amen. Whereby we're given exceeding and great precious promises that you might be partakers of the divine nature. Man, you get to take part in the God that created everything, planets and stars and the whole cosmos. You get to take part in the divine nature of God. Amen. Besides this, he says, if that wasn't enough, in verse 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Notice something here. Your faith was already established by believing in Jesus Christ. Your faith begins right there by believing in Jesus Christ. That seed received, I received Jesus in. Then comes excellence, virtue. You see that? That's all I need is Jesus. I don't need a head full of knowledge. I don't need to know how he created everything. I don't need to know every argument. I don't need to know why this and why that, why people suffer and why this happens. I can fully receive Jesus Christ and walk in excellence and be fully effective with him. First two steps, faith and virtue, excellence, purity. Then comes third. This is important. Knowledge comes third. A lot of people, especially in our culture, we're all driven by school. More school, more school. When I graduated from school, it's like, freedom! Come on! Let's go! Let's take on this world! I got 20 bucks! So, where are you going this year at your graduation party? Where are you going next? What school are you going to now? What are you going to be? What? School? Again? Does it ever end? Knowledge, number three. So in our culture, it's a little difficult for us. We flip it around and knowledge is exalted. The mighty God of knowledge. And becoming this and having a title on your name and a plaque and a desk and you made it. They get sharpened pencils now and have a name. Number three is knowledge. After you receive this beautiful person of Jesus Christ and dwelling in your heart. We got Jesus in my heart. Alice just sharing a story with me before we started tonight about it. Someone in the
Dominican
Republic, okay. When she speaks Spanish, she was able to relate to him. Yeah, I have Jesus in my heart in the Spanish. Amen. Praise God. Mm-hmm. That faith leads to this pureness, this excellence, having the divine nature. Man, that's a completion right there. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Now I can start learning. If I put it backwards, if I start learning, get a head full of knowledge, I get prideful, and I fall. I get prideful and I stumble and fall.
Yeah,
I'm a chicken wing eating Baptist. And I believe in a pre-trib, fat trib, the middle trib, and a side trib, and but nothing happening in here. A lot of stuff up here going on, and I'm faking everything and fooling everybody except God. That's number three. God wants to teach us. He wants us to be sanctified and grow in him. He wants to teach us things, but first to receive him. We have to have the new ears and new eyes. Mm-hmm. We have to have this excellence going on before we can start learning. All right. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the truth tonight. That's what we're talking about. And that leads to life. That leads to life. Let's see how it flows here. Whoa, take a look at this. Praise God. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 still. Faith, virtue, and the virtue, knowledge. Knowledge being number 3. Now what's going to happen? What's happening here, folks? What's happening here, folks? You got roots down in the ground happening. Mm-hmm. It's hard to see anything happening just yet. A lot of stuff's going in the inward parts. Truth is working on the inside. A lot of root stuff is happening. Root stuff is happening. Now what's going to come out of the ground is fruit. Faith down below in the roots, in the good soil. Virtue now leading to the fruits, which are the above ground stuff. All this happening above ground. This is a beautiful person that you will run into in your life. They're called believers. They're called Christians. And they have fruit hanging out all over the place. Oops, excuse me, my apples there hit you, my peaches. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, that we're fruitful creatures and we can share each other with each other this fruit. It's called loving each other. The whole body of Christ is knit together with us. Hallelujah. Praise God. And to knowledge, temperance, that self-control. Temperance, patience. Patience, godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness. These are all above ground fruits because you have the faith and the seed working underground there all at the time. This isn't then and then and then. No, it's and. All of these things are working. The roots always got to be working and still growing as the top part's growing. Still sinking your faith deeper in. Mm-hmm. It's not then, it's and. You add to these things. Knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, love, right at the top. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So that's the truth and the life now starting to happen, a fruitful life. One of the times that Jesus was with his disciples, he was either looking at a farmer or he had seeds of his own, but he was using that illustration of the seeds being cast on good soil. So that's the question tonight. He's not going to violate your free will. He's not going to violate your heart, but he wants it. He wants your heart completely surrendered to him. He wants you to have good soil. Because he talks about soil and its different forms, whether it's too shallow and the seed never really even begins to start. The birds snatch it away. He talks about it being in rocky places. I'm getting them all confused here. But he talks about all the different types of soil. Then he gets to the good soil where the deep roots sink in. He wants that for you tonight. Mm-hmm. That's your part. Yielding all of your life to him. He calls it soil, so don't worry what it looks like. Mm-hmm. Yield all your life to him. Just give it to him. Give it to him tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. So finish with a story, then I'll give an invitation. There's a lady in our church. She shared with me a few weeks ago. Gretchen and I were having dinner over at their house. And it was a really cool story. It gives a great picture of the beauty of the Bride of Christ down here on this earth. She was out smoking dope with her friend, and bad dope or whatever. They got in an argument, and she left, and they'd already been out. They're like 5 miles away from home, so she's walking home alone, and this was a long time ago, so she was dressed like girls do in the 60s or 70s with a short shorts or, you know, those kind of things.
And today.
And so she's a young high school girl walking down, and these guys, 3 guys in a car, looks like fun. They pull up, and hey, get in. We'll take you home. Looks like fun, right? Isn't that what sin looks like? It looks like fun. You want to get in? You want to get in the car, don't you? You want to get in with these guys? This is where it's happening. Three good-looking guys. So she gets in. She gets in. Maybe her judgment's a little off because of smoking the pot or whatever, but she gets in, and she says where she lives, and they said, no problem. And instead of taking a right, they take a left, and then they take another turn onto a dirt road, and she's like, this isn't good. This is not where I live. Then one of the guys jumps in the back seat with her while they're still driving, and she jumps out of the car and starts bucketating, and they stop, and one gets out and starts running after her. She cuts into the swamp, and we're eating dinner here. We're at the edge of our seat. Good story. True story. She goes through. She's up to her knees in mud and muck and going through. And she comes out on Interstate 90, of all places. And she's walking, and all of a sudden it dawns on her, in her fog and her confusion and her hysteria, to pray. The way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ. She decides to go to the way. Lord Jesus, help me. Starts praying to God. And she looks up, and then there's a car pulled over, and she carefully goes up to it. There's an older gentleman in the front seat, is what looks like to be his wife, which was in the back seat, feeding a child, I think it was their grandchild, baby food. It was a developmentally challenged child, and so feeding that child from a baby jar. And that situation might not look a lot very a powerful thing. Just some old car, plain car, an older couple. You have a child and a special needs child in the back, and she's lovingly taking care of it. You wouldn't think that would be the Superman of Hollywood, but it was. That's the body of Christ. He said,
We believe
in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to take you home. And they did exactly that. Took her home that night. That's the body of Christ. And a lot of people are like, that's nothing. We want to be with the guys in the car, the thing that's the hot rod, the muscle car, the thing that's going to go fast. And that was going to lead her right off the edge of a cliff. And she was able to escape from that and discover the body of Christ waiting there, God's divine appointment to get her home safely. The car is waiting for you tonight. You're simply asked to enter in. And that's the car where the body of Christ is inviting you in to enter in. It's like, we want to take you home. We're going to get you home. All the fears, everything that's been chasing you, all of the stuff that's been happening, just get in. We're going to take you home. Mm-hmm. We're going to get you there. We're going to get you home. It doesn't look like much. It's just a tent out in the field. But God did miracles tonight. He healed someone from a headache already. And God's going to do more. Let's yield over to him at this time. Let's thank him for dying for us. Thank you, Jesus. You can recommit, commit, or whatever you want to do tonight. Lord Jesus, I just want to present my body to you, my whole being, Lord God, as a pot of soil, that you'd plant your seed in me, Lord God. You would plant yourself in me, Lord Jesus. Into my heart, Lord God. I give myself to you. I believe you paid for my sins, every single one of them, completely covered in that book of records thrown away. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for the healing touch tonight. Thank you for healing each one of us, Lord God, with your blood. I thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for those that prayed with me tonight, Lord God, that you are working in their hearts even now as we speak, that you're sealing them with the Holy Spirit of God. Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. Let's enjoy some time singing, some time around the fire as we close tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Through every valley, through every thank you.
time. Whoever would like prayer tonight, you don't need to announce what it is. Put our hands on you and pray. If you want to tell us what it is, that's fine. But receive from the Lord tonight. That's my invitation to you. Receive what He has for you. The whole benefits package. Thank you, Lord God.
Sometimes going astray, sometimes having doubts, Lord God. Praise you, paralysis.